So we're on Daf Yud Ches Amud Beis, and we're going to start with the two dots, which you'll see about how many lines down do we say? About 15 lines? Down from the top of Yud Ches Amud Beis. And let me give you a little background. The first Mishnah in the second parak of Sanhedrin addresses two individuals who are high status individuals in the nation of Israel. One is the Kohen Gadol, and the other is the Melech. And a lot of what we're going to do here in the second parak is a comparison between the two. But for tonight, we're focused on the Kohen Gadol. And the Mishnah says the following, that Meid Umeidin Osa, that means that if there's a court case, and he, the Kohen Gadol, has testimony, Meid, he has to come to testify. You'll notice that the word Meid is a conjugated verb, the noun or the shoresh of which is Eidut. Umeidin also means if there's a court case in which he's on trial, or for example, he's in a dispute, then he has to stand there when they come in and testify. So that he can testify in the active sense, and he can be the subject of a testimony, meaning people, two witnesses can testify against him. That's what it says in the Mishnah. The Gemara is not happy about this. So I would like to give a little bit of an introduction as to why the Gemara is not happy. We have a principle called Kavod Abrios. Now Kavod Abrios, which means the respect that we give to human beings, all human beings, is relative. It's not the same for everyone. It's not uniform and standard. And we have individuals who, because of their station in life, something which for you and I would not be a zilzul, it would be okay. So if you asked me to take out the rubbish and put it in the rubbish bin, that would not be undermine my Kavod Abrios. But for somebody who's the leader of the people, or maybe he's the Kohen Gadol, for him, that would be a little bit below his dignity. And the halacha is so sensitive, it bends over backwards for Kavod Abrios. So for example, there's a Gemara not here, but in Brachos, that says that if a person is in the middle of a public thoroughfare and he realizes that he's got some linen that was sewed into his garment that was made of wool. So he's got a woolen garment with some threads of linen. What is that called? Shatnez. He's got to take it off. But if he strips it off in the middle of Shusha Rab and he's left in his underwear, you know what I'm saying? That's going to be a very big zilzal for him. So the Gemara says, in such a case, we're not going to force him to take off the clothes, the shatnez, because we're so sensitive to Kavod Abrios. This has to do with human dignity. It has to do with what's called Tzelem Elokim, which we're going to read about in this week's parsha. And that's the principle called Gadol Kavod Abrios. How great is Kavod Abrios? Now, here's the second introduction. When a person comes in front of a Beis Din to testify, there is a certain element of zilzal. Now, for you and I, it would not be a problem. Like if you told me, as I said before, to take out the roach. Why? Because even though they're going to interrogate me and they're going to put me over the coals, as we say, but nevertheless, that's what it is, and that's part of the judgment, and that's what happens in a court case. But if you're talking about a high status person like the Kohen Gadol, for him to be subpoenaed to show up in front of the Beis Din, such that the judges are now going to interrogate him, he becomes like the subject of interrogation, the Gemara thinks that that's a zilzul. And that lowers his cover, that violates upsets the sensitivity of his cover, of his honor, due to his special status. And the Gemara is going to try to prove now how significant the concept of Kavod Abrios is, even if it means that you do not fulfill a mitzvah aseh. Okay then? Now, what's the case that we're going to deal with now as we go through this Gemara? Hashavas Avedah. Now, obviously, if I find a wallet, there's nothing humiliating or embarrassing about picking up the wallet and returning it to its proper owner. But suppose I find a sheep, right? Like my son-in-law tells me about in his home country, you know, he's from Australia, they have a lot of sheep over there. Is that true, Mars? So imagine if you have a sheep that's roaming through the streets, In South Africa, they have sheep also?
Not so much.
Only in Kruger Park? Or, I tell you the truth. I lived for 25 years of my life in New York City. I never once saw a sheep. I didn't even know what a sheep looked like until they took me to the Bronx Zoo. It's a famous zoo in New York. Anyway, so you find a sheep, and in order to deal with it, which is called tipul, right, to take care of the sheep, you have to like pick it up, or you have to drag it, and you have to make sure it doesn't do poo-poo, you know what I mean, different kinds of things, if you know what I mean. Anyway, that could be, at a certain level, it could be deprecating to a person's self-respect of kavod habriyos. And here we have to introduce another concept. And that's called zaken. If you want to write this down, it would be helpful. Zaken v'eino lefi chvodo. Now the word zaken, which literally translates as an elder person, has a broader meaning. It doesn't mean that he's 60 years or older, as the Mishnah says in Avos, ben shishim lezikna. But the word zaken means that he's one of the elders, meaning he is a scholar, he's a leader in Klal Yisrael. For him to run around with a little shepsula or some other animal, you know, a little dog that he has to, you know, carry on his back, that's called eino lefi chvodo. It's below his dignity. Exactly. Now we're in a bind. Why? Because of all people to find the sheep and have the mitzvah of Hashavas Avedu, which is a great opportunity, it turns out that the person on the spot was a zaken, v'eino lefi chvodo. So we have now, which is really typical of all of halacha, a conflict situation. We have two sides of the scales. On one side of the scale, we have kavod habriyos, in this case, zaken v'eino lefi chvodo. On the other side of the scale, we have the great mitzvah of what? Hashavas Avedu. Now, just to tell you how great of a mitzvah Hashavas Aveda is, the Torah has not only commanded us in the positive mitzvah, which is a mitzvah say called Hashav Teshivim, but the Torah also imposes a lo taseh if he looks the other way, if he ignores a lost object. Again, if he takes it for himself and he has to return it, that's already a different prohibition. That's called gzeila, that's called theft. But we're not talking about that. We're talking about a person who sees the sheep and, you know, he's busy reading his newspaper. He's not going to pay any attention. That's a lo taseh called lo tuchal lihit alem. Lihit alem means to ignore it. And all this is codified in Parshas Ki Teitzeh in Sefer Devarim. So let's see how the Gemara, based on a brisa, is going to work this all out. The Gemara says, Meid? Question mark? Now, how do I know to put a question mark? It doesn't have a question mark in my Gemara. Does it have one in your Gemara?
From the next word.
Exactly. Because the next word is Vehatanya, which means, is that so? Because we have a Braita that contradicts this principle. Now, again, the Braita is not going to talk about a Kohen Gadol. The Braita is not going to talk about Eidus. But the Braita is going to give us a conceptual framework, or shall we say a structural principle that we're going to apply to the case of a Kohen Gadol vis-a-vis Eidus. And that's going to be the concept of Kavod HaBriyos. For Tanya, we learned in a Braisa, V'Salamta. Now, at this point, what we really have to do is open up a Chumash, but until we do so, I'm going to read to you the pasuk because I have it here and I hope you have it as well in Torah R, which is a compilation of the verses that are quoted in the Gemara. So in Torah R it says the following. It says, Lo tire et shar achicho et seo nidachim. Nidachim means you should not see the sheep or the ox of your friend Nidachim, means they're running around, roaming, lost, out in the streets, out in the marketplace. V'salamta mehem. But rather, hashev tashivem le'achicha. Now this is really interesting. Because if you translate the word v'salamta literally, based on Hebrew grammar, it's written in the tzivui. Tzivui means in the command form. Vihit alamta, and you shall look the other way. Elsewhere in the Torah, it says, lo tuchal lihit alem. So you're going to have to trust me on this one. So if we have a chance later on, I'll show it to you inside. Lo tuchal l'italei means you're not permitted to look the other way, but v'italamta mihem, paradoxically, commands him to look the other way. So the Gemara says, what does that mean? Pa'amim shatam mit'alem, under certain circumstances you look the other way. Upa'amim, in other circumstances, i'atam mit'alem, lo tuchal l'italei, the Torah prohibits you from looking the other way. Ha'ketzad, how do we work this out? Kohen v'hu b'beit ha'kvarot. Alright, we'll come back to that in just a minute. That's not really relevant to us tonight. But what's relevant to us is the next case. Zaken v'eino l'fi chvodo. So the one who found this sheep that's roaming through the streets and it's a lost sheep is a zaken. As we said before, he's an elder. And it's not... it wouldn't reflect his dignity if he were to be metapel with this sheep. So that's the case that we're going to focus our attention on. Now let me go back to the first case just for our own erudition, you know, to expand our knowledge. And that's the case of a Kohen, but the sheep is inside a cemetery. A Kohen is not allowed to enter into a cemetery. And the Gemara is going to say that here's a case where he looks the other way. He knows that there's a lost sheep, but he's not obligated to be metapel with the sheep because where is the sheep? It's in a cemetery and he's a Kohen. Then we have a third category where again we're going to apply the principle of pa'omim shatam mis'alim, that you look the other way. Shahaisa melacha shalom meruba mishel chavero. Again, this is a gigantic sugya, not for us tonight. So let's say, for example, you're a psychiatrist, and every time somebody lays down on your couch for 15 minutes, you charge them $500. Okay, I don't know if it's Australian dollars or rands or British pounds. Whatever it is, you charge them a lot of money. You know the famous story about the person who comes to the psychiatrist. He says to him, how do you listen to all these terrible stories that people pour out there? So he says, who listens? He just takes the check. Anyway, so if let's say he's making big bucks and the sheep is worth, you know, a couple of dollars or whatever, so he doesn't have to give up a major job in order to be metapel with the aveda. That again, that's a very long, complicated sugya, not for us. So lekach nemar vit alamta. The Gemara quotes this brisa, which concludes with those three words. Lekach, therefore, nemar, the Torah says, v'hit alamta. What does that mean, v'hit alamta? Look the other way. And why? Because you fit into one of these three categories. One of the three categories is zaken v'ena l'fi chvodo. Now, what is he giving up here, in halachic terms, by not, you know, by being omed on his cover? What is he forfeiting? Hashavasaveda, that's a mitzvah saseh. So when we balance kavod abrios, in this case zaken, versus a mitzvah saseh, which wins out? Which tips the scale and which goes down to the bottom of the scale?
The mitzvah saseh is much greater.
The mitzvah saseh loses out.
Why?
Because that's how great, that's how significant kavod abrios is. It's so great that it allows you to give up on a mitzvah saseh, to exempt yourself from a mitzvah saseh. So the Gemara says, if this be the case, then a kohen gadol who is subpoenaed in front of a court, and the Mishnah says meid, which means he goes to testify in front of a court. Now, what's going to happen when the kohen gadol shows up in the court to testify? He'll be subject to what?
Cross-examination,
to heavy interrogation. In fact, we're not going to learn this now, but interrogation means seven basic questions, and then beyond that, the Beis Din is enjoined to ask as many possible questions as they have. So basically, they put him over the coals. That's Eino L'fi Chvodo. But on the other hand, the Torah commands you to give edus. If you know testimony, that's an obligation. What do we do? We have kavod abrios on one side of the scale, and we have a mitzvah saseh of edus on the other side of the scale. Which is going to win out, and which is going to lose out?
Does it depend on the crime?
Well, wait a second. Before you get there, I'm just saying, I'm just trying to just pedagogically, if you work with me, what is the Gemara's analogy here? Why is the Gemara so upset about Meir, about Kohen Gadol testifying based on a Braisa that doesn't even mention the Kohen Gadol? It doesn't say a word about Eidus in this Braisa. The Braisa is talking about a Zokin Shenel Fichvodo who finds Seon Nidachim. He finds a sheep that's roaming through the streets. Well, what's the connection here? And what's the answer, Rabbi Osai? When you have Kavod HaBrios on one side of the scale, and you have a Mitzvah Saseh on the other side of the scale, then which wins out? Kavod HaBrios. And which loses out? The Mitzvah Saseh. This is a revolutionary idea. That's why I told you the Gemara in Bracha says he doesn't have to take off the Kalayim because it would be humiliating, even though it means he's wearing Kalayim. God all Kavod HaBrios. That's how great Kavod HaBrios is.
So that's not an mitzvah say. That's negative love.
And it's even against the love as long as it's what's called Shev V'Altas. In other words, you're not allowed to violate a love actively for Kavod HaBrios. You know, you wouldn't be allowed to eat a piece of Chazon Treif. But in a case of a Shev V'Altas, like for example, the Torah says, Lo Sucha L'Salim, he would be allowed to look the other way. Why? Because of Kavod HaBrios. And the Gemara thinks the same rule should apply to the case of what? Of Eidus for a Kohen Gadol. He doesn't have to give the Eidus. Now you're asking, what if we need the Eidus so desperately? Let's say someone's life is on the line. I don't know, maybe that's Pikuach Nefesh. Amar Rav Yosef says, there's only one case in which we're going to subpoena the Kohen Gadol to show up in court and testify, and that's called Beid LeMelech. Who's on trial? The king himself. So if he's testifying on a trial, and who is now being tried? It's the king. So then, the Kohen Gadol would not be in any way deprecating his own kavod if he comes in order to testify on behalf of the king. Okay, we're not going to get into that now. But what I want you to take a look at here is the Gvuras Yitzchak. We should have one extra copy here, I think. Well, we can give to Brian. Wait a second, Marcy, you didn't get a copy? Here.
You have to take your status in life very seriously. You can't sort of say, well, I'm not worthy, therefore I'm going to take out the garbage, perhaps.
Well, wait a second. I'm not sure, Morris, but I think you might be touching, whether you know it or not, but you might be touching on the basic issue that I want to discuss with you tonight. What are we saying here about the Kohen Gadol? A or B? Listen carefully. There are two possibilities. And I don't know how to learn the Gemara. That's what this Gvuras Yitzchak is all about. Possibility number one is that what the Gemara is saying is the Kohen Gadol has a right to forego the mitzvah of Eidus for the sake of his covenant. That right we have to grant him. The exception to the rule, which again, that's a whole other discussion, is in the case when the Melech is on trial. Fine. Possibility number two, and this is, I think, touching on what you were saying, Morris, is that it's not just the right of the Kohen Gadol to say that I'm not going to testify. He's not even allowed to testify. Because in doing so, he would undermine his kavod. Now, here we get into a much broader question about kavod. Is kavod something that you own? Is it yours? You can waive your kavod and say, I give up on my honor. Or does kavod belong to, shall we say, the Torah itself or to Hashem? So, for example, if, let's say, I would come to the conclusion that this zaken is none other than the Rosh Hashiva. Okay, he's a reshiva of a yeshiva that has hundreds of students. And he says, I don't mind taking out the rubbish bin. I don't care. He's mezalzel in himself. Is he allowed to do so? Could be that his kavod is not really his own. He doesn't own his kavod. It's not his possession. He's a representative of what?
Of the position that he represents.
Of a zaken.
But what is that position in one word that starts with a tav and ends with a hey? It has four letters to it.
Torah.
He represents the Torah, whether he likes it or not. He is a teacher of Torah.
Yeah. When you're trying the king and you're trying the Kohen Gadol, there's a different situation. I understand what you're telling me, but there's such thing as closed doors. You know what closed doors mean?
Sure.
That no press is allowed in, no onlookers are allowed to make notes right. for it. It's just between the people who are paid to do what they are told to do
right.
and for the search of truth and MS. And they must understand why they're being, that calling a door of the king, why they're being interviewed. It's nothing to do with dignity. It's right. the truth, and they understand the position.
Okay. I don't want to.
Saying you can't do anything because the king. I understand that.
Okay.
But at the same time, in search of truth and in search of
right. Right. Yeah. I don't want to get off. And you're raising a lot of different issues, but let's focus on this issue. The Gemara assumes, and the Gemara doesn't backtrack on this assumption, that for a Kohen Gadol to testify, that would undermine his cover. That's the premise. I can't answer your questions. I can just work with what I have.
The truth of the man who he is. He understands why he's being... that's their job. The court's job is to try and find the
all right, okay. Find okay, Yaakov, again, I understand your feelings, but what I have is I have 1 hour a week to meet with this group, and I want to learn how to learn, so let's just focus on the premises that we're operating with. So the premise is that what? For the Kohen Gadol to testify would undermine his cover. That's the assumption. Now, Pirish Rashi, if you have this paragraph, everybody have it? It's the bottom left column on the first page in this little handout that I gave you. Alma, what do we see from this Braisa? After all, as I said to you before, the Braisa doesn't mention a word about the Kohen Gadol or about Eidus. Kovet Abrios Doche, please underline that word Doche if you can, I have an extra pen here. Doche Lav de lo sucha lis alef. What does the word Doche mean?
Pushes off.
Pushes off, right. Or you might say it trumps. I don't know if you're familiar with that word. Again, nothing in mind, David. Because I'm the only American here, so if I use the word Trump, I get very nervous here. So, the lo sucha l'sal, says Rashi, v'hachinami, here's the equation, so too, zilusa hu l'gabi kohen gadol, it would be a zilzal for the kohen gadol, lese, to come, and lasude, and to testify l'bal din, on behalf of one of the litigants. That's what Rashi says. Now, here's a quote from the Tumim. Again, for those who are interested in a little bit of history, the Tumim's name was Rabbi Yonason Eibeschitz. I don't know if you heard of him. He lived about 2.5 centuries ago. Very interesting. He was part of a tremendous polemics. It was... I don't want to go into detail. He was accused by one of his contemporaries of being a Shabtai Tzvinik. I mean, this was a debate, I don't know what word to say, a controversy that ripped holes in Klal Yisrael. But anyway, they claimed that Rabbi Yonason Eibeschitz was wearing a...
Tzelem.
What's it called?
Cross. Huh?
How do you say it?
Tzelem.
No, Chas v'Shalom, not a Tzelem. They accused him of wearing a...
One of those things that
describe... Oh, what's the word? Yeah. It has a name to it. A kamiya. Excellent. And that Kamiya was from the Shabtai Tzvinik, you know. That's what they accused him of. It was a false libel, but his whole life he had to fight against that accusation. So his name was Rabbi Yonason, and he wrote many, many different works, one of which is called the Tumim, and that is a major breakthrough work, a classic on Choshed Mishpat, on the laws of Dini Mamonos. In fact, 100 years later, when the Ktsos HaChoshen, if you ever heard him, wrote his book on the Choshen Mishpat, they laughed at him. How could you write a book on the Choshen Mishpat when the Tumim was already published? That's how powerful the Tumim was. So the Tumim opens up the Rambam in the laws of Aveda, of a lost object, and look at the Rambam's language. The Rambam says that if he finds a sack is some sort of big sack, or he finds a kupa, some sort of large container, im haya chacham, if he's a scholar, o zakev, or he's an elderly person, mechubad, and he commands respect, she'ein darko litol kelim elu biyoda, it's below his dignity to take such objects into his hand. Eino chayav lihitopel behem, Can you underline those words? What does it mean? Eino chayav li topo behem.
It's not obligated to deal with it.
So what do you derive from this Rambam? Can you use
your yeshiva skin?
Can you use your thing? Exactly. He's not obligated, but if he wants to, there's no objection. And if you look further in the same chapter, the Rambam writes, "Haholich b'derech hatov hayosher." If you have a person who wants to walk down the right path, the osa lifnim mishuras hadin, he goes even beyond the letter of the law. Machzir es haveda b'kol makom. He will always return a lost object. V'afal pi she'eino lefi chvodo. So let me ask you this. Is the Rambam encouraging a person to waive his kavod, W-A-I-V-E, for the sake of the mitzvah?
Yes.
Yes. The Rambam says that's a person who can be described as ose lefnim mishuras hadin. He goes beyond the letter of the law. V'arei afal gav dezokein v'eino lefi chvodo potur, even though he's exempt from the mitzvah, and no one could have a claim against him if he does not involve himself in returning this object. But nevertheless, mikomakom, the last line on the page, lifnim mishus hadin rashoy levater al kvodo. Says the Tumim, and this is the question of the Tumim, now you'll turn to page Reish Samachay, the flip side of your page. V'imkein, my parach b'gemara, what was Gemara's question? The Mishnah says that a Kohen Gadol will testify. What does that mean? Does that mean A, he's obligated to testify? Or does it mean he's allowed to testify if he so chooses? Hello, Yesh Lomar. What is the Gemara upset about? My Parach B'Gemara, why is the Gemara asking a Pircha here? Yesh Lomar, we could suggest, the Maida Tnan, what it says in the Mishnah, quote, Kohen Gadol made, unquote, Hainu Im Yirtza. If he, on his own volition, decides that he wants to testify. And why does the Mishnah emphasize this? Because again, as I told you at the outset, this Mishnah is all about comparing and contrasting a Kohen Gadol to a Melech. Lafukeit, in contrast to a Melech. She'eino yochel lahayv klal. Let's say the Melech decides that he wants to waive his kavod, and he wants to testify. He's not allowed to do so. Afilim yirtze, even if he wants to do this mitzvah of Eidus. The Melech shemachal kvodo ein kvodo machal. Because the kavod of the king is not his own personal possession, but rather it belongs to Malchus, to kingship. Since you're from the British Commonwealth, you know what I'm talking about, right? Again, the queen, the king, whatever it is. So let's go over the Tumim's kasha. According to what we see in the Rambam, when you have a case of Zokin Shedil Chvifodo, it's a ptur. It means we exempt you, you're not obligated, but if you want to do so, and you want to waive your honor, and go ahead and fulfill the mitzvah, is Tovol HaBracha, let him be blessed. Zayge benched. Why? Because then he's a Lefnim Mishuras Hadin. Says the Tumim, that be the case, I don't understand what the Gemara is hacking over here. Why is the Gemara objecting to Kohen Gadol Meid? Kohen Gadol Meid means if he wants to testify, so Zayge Zunt, let him go and testify. But he's not obligated to testify. Beautiful question of the Tumim. V'hine, Habeis Yosef, Chosav de Makara Rambam Mibob Mitzia Daf Lamin Omid Beis. Where did the Rambam get this from? He got it from a Gemara. The Gemara tells a story about Rabbi Shmuel that Pogabahu Gavra Davidore Pischa Di Ufe. He was carrying some low kind of thing. The Omale Dalili, please pick it up for me and place it on my back. I don't know if exactly, you have to look up the English translation. If you have a Bava Metzia with an art skull, you can look it up. Some sort of reeds or something. Anyway, Omar, so Rabbi Shmuel responds to him, Kama Shoven, how much are they worth? Omar Le Palgan de Zuze, they're worth half of a Zuz. Yoiv Le Palgan de Zuze, he digs into his pocket, gives him a half a Zuz. The Afkare, right, he's not going to pick it up because it's Enel Chifoto, Rabbi Shmuel. So he says, let it be Hefker. So the Gemara asks, Vaha, Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Yossi, Zokin, Enel Chifoto, Vava. The Gemara asks, why do you have to pay him off a half a Zuz in order to exempt himself from the mitzvah of helping him, which is called Ozov Tazov Imo, if you're familiar with that? He didn't have to pay him a dime. He could have just turned his back and walked away. It was Zaken Vein Lefi Foda. And the Gemara answers, Lefnim Mishus Hadinu Da'avid. He went beyond the letter of the law. Vatur Sham, the Tur in Choshe Mishpat, Hishmitzeh. He leaves out this principle of Lefnim Mishus Hadin. Mipnei Shah Rosh. Once the Torah exempts you from the obligation because you're a zaken, then he should not disgrace himself and lower his kavod. The iser hu legabi didei, and it's prohibited shemizalzel bechvoda Torah, because he's really representing the Torah, and now he's deprecating the Torah. When he's not obligated to do so. If the Torah would have said under all circumstances you're obligated, so then you don't have to worry about the covenant Torah. That was the decision of the Torah. But if the Torah says you're not obligated, for you to go ahead, what Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yossi did was not because he felt he had any sort of an obligation to pick up this object and be mezalzel in his kavod, aval ein lo reshus lezalzel bechvodo. So he gave him a half a zuz, and that's fine. But he would not be allowed to lower his kavod below his dignity and pick up this object because he represents Torah. All this is quoted by the Tur. Now let's summarize. Haray, what we see from all this is the Das HaRosh Vatur, according to the Rosh and the Tur, came under Potshat Torah as Zokin. Kishein Olufi Fodo, since the Torah exempted him, also lo lezalzel bechvodat Torah, he's not allowed to disgrace himself, because in so doing he's disgracing the Torah, because it's a makom sheinachayv, because the Torah doesn't obligate him. Is Lefi Divrei HaRosh Vatur, according to that Shita, we have a great answer to the question of the Tumim. Shapir, it's very good. Not Shapiro, but Shapir. Porach HaGemar, the Gemara asks the following question. Came with Avi Zokin Vein Lefi Foda for the Kohen Gadol to testify it's considered a Zokin Vein Lefi Foda situation. Is also lo lahayim? Is Amai made? Why does the Mishnah allow him to testify? He's not allowed to testify. He would be mezalzel in the kavod of the office of the Kohuna Gadola. That's the office of the greatest service in the Beis Hamikdash, the Kohen Gadol, who goes on Yom HaKippurim Lifnai V'Lifnim, and he carries Klal Yisrael on his shoulders on the holiest day of the year, and the many other things and functions of the Kohen Gadol. So for him to be mezalzel in his covenant is absolutely forbidden, according to the Rosh and the Tur. Ulam, but where is the Tumim's point well taken? L'das HaRambam. According to the view of the Rambam, who holds that even a Zokin Shenel Klifodo, despite the fact that he's potter and he doesn't have to return the Aveda, but if he wants to go Lefnimishus and then beyond the letter of the law, Rashai, he's allowed to do so. And therefore he could be metapo with this Aveda, Lahashiv, in order to return it, Shapir, and that's good. Is then a Hikshah Tumim? Now we appreciate the Tumim's Kasha. That maybe what the Mishnah is saying about a Kohen Gadol is that even though he's not obligated to testify, but the Mishnah is saying that if he wants to do so, he's allowed to do so, and he could waive his kavod, as opposed to a melech, where the law, the principle is melech shemachal kvodo ein kvodo, the melech, no way, no how, is allowed to waive his kavod. So now, Rabosai, let's just summarize what we have here. We have two views in the Rishonim about this principle called zakei veda l'chvifodo. According to the Rosh and the Tur, Zaken Vein Lefifoda is not just a Ptur, but it's also an Iser. He's not allowed to do this Tipul, which will be below his dignity. According to the Rambam, on the other hand, on the contrary, we would encourage him to do so, waive his Kavod, because of Lefnimishus Adin, even though he's not obligated to do so. The difference between them is obvious. Whether the Kohen Gadol is allowed to testify, or Zaken Vein Lefifoda is allowed to pick up this sheep, carry it on his shoulders, with all that entails. And we have the Kasha, the Tumim, which is now directed specifically against the Rambam's interpretation, because according to the Rambam, How could we justify the kasha of the Gemara? The Gemara has no kasha at all. Because maybe it means Lifnivishus Adin, on his own initiative, he can make that decision and testify.
It's not below his cover to be a defendant in the court, I assume. Can somebody call that? Can somebody claim the Kohen Gadol owes him $100 and the Kohen Gadol has to pay the court to...
Pay the court, you say?
No.
Let's say the Din Torah, the dispute is over $100. Is he allowed to take out $100 from his pocket?
No. We say that Kohen Gadol doesn't have to testify in court.
Right.
But can people borrow him?
He's accused.
Can people accuse him?
Yes. Yes.
Okay.
Now, the balance of this essay is to try to analyze this issue as to whether or not Zaken Shel Klifot is only a p'tur, but if he wants to, in his own initiative, Lefnivishus Hadin, he can be encouraged to do so, or it's completely a no-no, and it's us. V'hine. Now, the main point of this whole essay is the paragraph V'nira on the left side, so that's what I really want to get to, but Baruch Hashem, we're doing pretty good on the clock. V'hine Yeshlis Topic. Yeshlis Topic means... I would like to raise an issue, and I'm not sure what the answer to my question is. I vacillate. We have a pasuk v'salamta that you look the other way, and the Bryce interprets that as referring to a zaken v'eino lefi chvodo. That's one of the three categories. So he's not obligated in hashavas aveda. What kind of halacha is that? And again, I'm going to have to ask you to underline these words. In the first possibility, he says it's a din dechia. Okay, so you want to underline that word dechia. What does it mean? The kavod abrias docha losa seshabat Torah. So we'll try to understand what that word dechia means here. Oh, here's the second possibility. The einzer migeder dechia. It shouldn't be defined as dechia ki im, but rather din beikar hachiu. Okay, here we want to underline the words din beikar hachiu, and what does that mean? That Torah lo chiva misha ein ze lefichvodo lasos hamitzvah. Now let's try to understand the difference between these two definitions. They're very abstract, and there's a subtle difference between the two. But if we understand this subtle difference, we'll see a great difference between the two. There's something called a din dechia. A din dechia tells me that this mitzvah is completely rejected. Nidches. Nidches means push it off a high cliff. It's completely out. And forget about the los haseh. It doesn't exist. The second way of learning it is that it's not a din dechia, but rather it means that as far as the obligation is concerned, the Torah says that in your case, in your situation in life, you are not obligated. You're in a very particular situation, a zaken v'eino lechvifodo, and you're not chayav in the mitzvah. I'll give you an example. According to the second pshat, what would you say about a woman in terms of the mitzvah of sukkah? Sukkah is a time-bound mitzvah. Mitzvah says it's man groma. How would you define the halacha of an isha?
That's an erushus.
Correct. It's not a dechia. It's not where we're completely removing the mitzvah. What we're saying is you're not obligated. Now, if I say you're not obligated, what does that mean? What's the implication?
You can if you want to.
You can if you want.
What about one parent family?
One pair?
One parent family. She's your husband.
I'm not sure what you said. Parent? P-A-R-E-N-T?
Yeah,
a one pair, like a single mother kind of thing. Ah, so I lost you. What were we talking about?
Talking about women
I don't know that there's any difference between a married woman and a single woman. I never heard such a thing. But in any event, can a woman opt for a mitzvah that she's not obligated in? The answer is yes. There are many mitzvahs that I'm not obligated in, but I can take it upon myself to do that mitzvah. That's called Be'ikra Chiyuv. V'hine, V'bo Metziyah Daflam Etonu Rabbanu V'salam T'pom V'shatom V'salim Now let's go through the cases. The first case of Pamun Shatom Misalim is where the object is lost, and who found it? A Kohen. And where did he find it?
In a
cemetery, correct?
How did he find it in a cemetery?
In other words, he saw the sheep run into a cemetery, right? He was running after the sheep, and he saw it jump into the cemetery. Is the Torah says it's halamta? Now let's ask the following question. We need a pasuk v'salamta to tell me that the Kohen does not go into the Beis HaKvaros in order to fulfill the mitzvah Hashavas Aveda Pshita. High essay, vai los sevi essay. Velo osi essay vidochi is los sevi essay. Again, there's a whole mouthful over here. But basically, what he's saying is that a Kohen Gadol has a double whammy. He has, number one, a los haser, which enjoins him from going into a cemetery to be metame himself. And number two, he has a mitzvah saser v'kidashto, which means that he's obligated to guard his kedusha and make sure that there's no desecration of his sanctity. On the other hand, Hashavas Aveda is an essay. But an essay does not have the power to override a lotase and an essay when it's a double header. Vihine tosisham hikshu valo ki amrinan ein essay doch losa viesse animili losa seviesse ashova bakol avohai dieno shova bakol dochi. So Tosus says that based on the principles of essay doch losa se, in this case of Kohen vihibe beis hakvaros, the mitzvah of Hashavas Aveda would override the lotaseh of Kohen, and he'd have to go in there in order to return the Aveda, if not for the pasuk v'salamta. And why is that? Because this is called an essay she'eino shava bakol. It means it's a special essay that's limited to Kohenim. It doesn't apply to you and I if we're not Kohenim. Again, it would apply to Maris, but it does apply to me. Kinemuchach b'perek she'ni Shnei Nazirim. There's a parak in Nazir which is called Shnei Nazirim. The Osi Esei de Mitzora Vidochi Lav the Esei de Kohanim. So a Lav and an Esei of Kohanim is on a slightly lower level because it's Eino Shava Bakol. It's limited to the Kohanim. Anybody could be a Mitzora, doesn't matter what Shevet you're from. If you contract Zoras, you have an Esei, and then you have a Lav in the case of Kohanim, but that's Eina Shavu Bakol. All this is Tosfos in Masechta Bava Metzia. Ubishita Mekubetzes, right, that's an anthology of Rishonim, on Bava Metzia. Tiretz, he gives another answer. The Aseda Shavu Nami Lo Odif Mine, the Iyu Nami Eina Shavu Bakol, the Eina Noe Bezoken V'Einol V'Chvoda. So the Shita Mekubetzes says that by the same token that you classify the essay of Kahuna as Eino Shava Bakol, because it only applies to Kohanim, so too the essay of Hashavas Aveda is also Eino Shava Bakol. It's not an equal, uniform mitzvah that's incumbent upon every Jew, because we have a category of Jews called Zokein Veino L'Fichvoda. So not everyone is, it's not absolute and all-encompassing, it's an Eino Shava Bakol. Nira, it seems from the Shita Mekubetzes that Zokei Veinel Chvifodo is Eino Begeder Dechia Ki Im Din Beikar Achiv Da Torah Lo Chiva Misha Ein Zelefichvodo Lasol Samitzvah. In other words, according to the Shita Mekubetzes, the Zokei Veinel Chvifodo teaches me something about this mitzvah, that this mitzvah does not obligate everyone, and if you're a Zokei Veinel Chvifodo, you're not included in the obligation of the mitzvah. The Keva Davidin Beikar Chiyuv is Choshev Ha'esei Shein Hashavah Bakol. Since, as far as this Chiyuv Mitzvah of Hashavah Saveda doesn't apply to everyone, and therefore a limited Chiyuv is called Ein Hashavah Bakol. Masha'en King Tosvis Sovrim She'en Zed Din Beikar Chiyuv Ki Im Migedu De Chiyuv De Kavod Abriyas Dochalos Hasebetor. In other words, the Zokin Veinel Chvifodo would be included in the mitzvah. He's obligated, but Kavod Abrios completely negates that mitzvah. The Kavod Dezavi Migedna Rak Migedna Dechia Choshev Esei Sheshav Bakol Dakol Bichlal HaMitzvah. So I'm going to just give a quick summary of this last paragraph. If you catch it, that's great. If not, the main thing is the next paragraph. That's what I want to make sure that everybody's on board. So this paragraph goes the following. There are two ways of understanding Zaken Ven El Klifoto. One is that it's a limitation in the Chiyuv, meaning the Chiyuv applies to, let's say we have a list of 26 people from A to Z. It applies to A, B, C, D, E, but it doesn't apply to X, Y, and Z. Those three people are excluded from the Chiyuv HaMitzvah. That's one way of understanding Zaken Ven El Klifoto. That he's not included in the obligation. The other way is to say, no, he would be included in the obligation, but there's halach of dechia, that kavod abrios is such a powerful halachic principle that it completely vitiates the mitzvah. It overwhelms the mitzvah and completely smashes it. And this seems to be a machlokas between Tosfos and the Shitim Kubetzes in Masechta Bava Metzia. And the machlokas revolves around the question of Esei Hashava Bakol. How do we classify Hashava Saveda? Is that considered Hashava Bakol, an essay that's obligatory and compels every single Jew? Or is there a segment, a sector of the population that are not included, that are left out of that chiyuv? Oh, now let's get back to our issue. We were talking about a Kohen Gadol, and he's called upon to testify. And the Gemara tries to prove from Zaken Shein El Klifoto that the Kohen Gadol is not obligated to testify. Is he allowed to testify? Who can answer that question? According to the Rambam, is he allowed to testify?
Yes.
Lifnei Mishus Hadin, he can waive his kavod. According to the Rosh and the Tur, is he allowed to testify?
No.
Absolutely not. Vindira. The Zeu Gamken Yisod. Again, that's a beautiful word, Yisod. I'll try to explain what the word Yisod means. Plugtas HaRambam VeHaRosh. Plugtas means the machlokes between the Rambam on one side of the equation and the Rosh on the other. Yisod means, what is the real issue that they're arguing about? That's called Yisod HaPlugta. They debate the issue whether Zaken Shein El Klifoto is allowed to be mezalzel in his kavod, even though he's not obligated. The Rambam holds that the halacha of Zaken Shein El Klifoto is a ptur. It's a ptur. That means that he's not included in the chiyuv. Why? Because the Torah says, I'm not going to obligate you if it's not lefi chvodo, it's below your dignity. The kevod she'ein ze ki im ptur, since the entire nature of this halacha, this principle, exhausts itself in a ptur, greater means only, it's only a ptur. Therefore, mishum hachi lifnim mishus adin rashay lashim something. Like we gave the example of mitzvah seishas van groma, where women are pturos, but if they want to take it upon themselves to fulfill the mitzvah, is great. We'll encourage them to do so. Masha ain't kein a rush so there. According to the rush, ain't ze ptur. This is not a halacha that he's potur, because there's no reason why he shouldn't be included in the mitzvah of Hashavas Aveda. But rather, zeu din dechia, the kavod abrios doche ha'esei v'los seshe b'torah. Doche means it completely overwhelms, it completely negates, it vitiates the mitzvah. The kavod says that we get the dechia, it means that kavod abrios is greater than the mitzvah, and therefore it overwhelms or overpowers and undermines the mitzvah of Hashavas Aveda because of kavod abrios. Is ein rashoy lahachmir ulahashivs Aveda. The mitzvah nidche. The mitzvah was completely subject to dichui. Dichui means it was rejected. The mitzvah was absolutely rejected. And why was it rejected? Because of the greatness of what? Kavod abrios. Is lekach also lezalzel bechvodo? You see, if the Torah is just saying, I'm not going to obligate you because I don't want to insult your dignity, So that's already a subjective issue. If you want to fulfill that mitzvah, you don't want to give up on the, you don't want to overlook that opportunity to fulfill a great mitzvah, and you want to overlook your kavod, then fine. That's you weren't obligated to do so, but you can take it upon yourself to do so voluntarily. But if on the other hand we're talking about a din d'chia, what we're saying is that the power of Kavod Abrius is such that it's dochet, it pushes away and overwhelms the mitzvah, there is no room for the mitzvah at all, because there's a din d'chia. That's the mechanism of d'chia. D'chia completely undermines the mitzvah and rejects.
Rambam doesn't make sense.
You don't like the Rambam. I'd have to like the Rambam. But anyway, go ahead. Yeah, what do you mean?
If it's don't touch that, it's a fly.
Yeah. That was the fly I was going to accuse him of being a Gilgal the Shomer, because he came and kept coming back to hear the shir. Now he drowned himself. Yeah.
Does everyone agree that on the Kavod Abrius part, that it's that the Kohen has got a chiyuv of Kavod Abrius? Does the Rambam agree that the Kohen has got a chiyuv of Kavod Abrius?
I lost you. What about a chiyuv of Kavod Abrius? The question is whether he has a chiyuv of Edus to undermine his Kavod Abrius. I'm not sure if we're on the same wavelength.
But does everyone agree that
nervous
does everyone agree that the Kohen's not allowed to stun Mezalzel himself?
You mean if there's no mitzvah at all? You mean just one day he decides to wear a dunce cap and walk through the street? Yeah. No, he's not allowed to do it. That's
okay.
For sure.
Okay, so therefore
the whole issue is for the sake of a mitzvah. Yeah.
But the Rambam says it's not even a mitzvah to
what?
It's not even Hashavas Avayel is not even the mitzvah, right? If for this person.
Again, we're talking about a Zokin Reinul Chifodo. He has a mitzvah according to the Rambam of Hashavas Avedim, but he's not obligated. There's no Chiyuv mitzvah, but he can voluntarily accept upon himself to do the mitzvah. Why is that? I don't understand why you're...
Is it a mitzvah for the Kohen? To Hashavas Avedim?
Sure, why not?
No, because according to what I understand from the Rambam, it's not a mitzvah for him.
Again, what do you mean by mitzvah? If you mean that he gets credit for it, then for sure it's a mitzvah. If you mean it's an obligation, for sure he's not obligated.
It's not obligated. It's different to being a mitzvah.
Like a woman in sukkah. A woman sits in sukkah. Is she obligated?
No.
Is it a mitzvah?
Sure.
Yes. In fact, for Ashkenazim, not for Sfaradim, she'll make a bracha. So again, we had here, I don't have to bother you with this, but we had a special tkiya shofar for the ladies. Why do we bother with that? The woman is not obligated to hear the shofar. But the answer is she wants to do it on her own. So she voluntarily accepts upon herself to be Makai of the mitzvah. So the same thing according to the Rama in a Zokin Venel Chifodo. He's an elder. He doesn't have to start carrying around this sheep on his shoulders and lower himself. But if he decides to wave his kavod, he has the mitzvah. The Torah didn't obligate him, but he has the mitzvah. And he fulfills the mitzvah. If there was a bracha on Hashavas Avedim, which there isn't for technical reasons, he would make a bracha on Hashavas Avedim. That's the Rambam Shita. Comes along the Rosh and he says, no, I want to introduce a new concept, a new methodology. And that's called Dechia. Dechia means...
So there's no mitzvah for
that. That Kavod Abrios has so powerful that it completely, it's an anti-force, it completely rejects and trumps, the mitzvah of Kavod Abrios. The mitzvah of Hashavas Avedim. Would he be allowed to do so? Says the Rosh Hashanah. Because once it's the Chia, that pushes the mitzvah off a cliff.
So
it doesn't exist.
A Kohen sees in the cemetery an object, a lost object. If you say, according to the opinion, that he's no longer even got the mitzvah of doing it because he can't go into the cemetery, okay, so he can't do it. But if you say that... He does have the mitzvah, it just simply technically stops him from doing the mitzvah, he can't go into the cemetery. Would he ever have to say to somebody, look, there's an object in there, bring it out to me so I can...
Right. You're right. It's like the case, you remind me of a Gemara later on in this Masechta, where he can't jump into the water, he doesn't know how to swim, so he can't save somebody. But the Gemara says he's obligated to bring someone else as a lifesaver. If he can't do it himself, let him bring someone else. Vehine, Lefia Mavur, this is the last paragraph on the page, the Sfir Leila Rambam, the Yisod Hadin, the Zakim and the Klifon, the Potomi Lahoshim Haveda, Ain't Zamigeda de Chia, Ain't Zamigeda de Chia, Ki Im Din Beika Chiv, that Torah lo Chiva Labishaina Lefifodo, is Nire, the Hodra Shoy Lahoshim Haveda, Lo Tsarech. Ledin mechila, eladikemet the einze eladin p'tur. He wrote said Rashi lahachmer alatzulasus lufnim mishus adin. Now at this point he's suggesting that we don't need a mechila here. Mechila is a formal legal process by which a person waives his rights. We don't need that. Why? Because if someone is potter from a mitzvah and he decides to take it upon himself, then he accepts upon himself, albeit voluntarily, lifnim mishus hadin, a mitzvah. So he doesn't have to be mochel.
So why did I bring it up?
Is this according to Ramban now? What?
Just give me one more minute, okay? Ulefiya mavur delo tzark lidin mechila nirin de kmochein melech she'eno meid mipnei Shalohavi lefichvodo lahoid, einze eleptur bialma mi lahoid, aval ilu rotza lahoid rashoi. Wow, you hear what he's saying now? Here's the issue that he's putting on the agenda. And it's all according to the Rambam. We'll come back to the Rambam in just a minute. If a melech decides on his own, that he wants to show up in the courts and testify on behalf of somebody, is he allowed to do so? What would have been your knee-jerk response based on everything that we've learned until now? Would the melech be allowed to do so?
That's machlokes.
I would have said for sure in this case he's not allowed to do so because you're dealing with melech and there's no such thing as mechila in the case of a melech. In the case of a kohen gadol, or in the case of a zaken shedel chvifodo, and he wants to be metapel with somebody's sheep, and he's mochel on his cover, that's fine. But there's a limit. In the case of a melech, you're going beyond the limitations. You can't allow for mechil in the case of a melech. So the Gvur Yitzchak wants to say that according to the Rambam, we're not dealing with laws of mechila. What we're doing is we're saying that you're potter from the mitzvah, but you can do the mitzvah. You're included in the mitzvah, just you're not obligated. We don't have to come on to any din mechila, and therefore, even though a melech does not have the power to be mochel on his kavod, but nevertheless, here we don't need mechila. Here we're just saying that he's obligated; he's not obligated in the mitzvah technically, but he wants to accept upon himself that mitzvah. So, if the melech decides that he wants to testify in a court of law, he's allowed to do so. The lo be'inon ledin mechila klal. Ki im de kevan di enol fifodein of chayav lahayid. He doesn't have to testify the melech, but in bratza if he wants to, rashoi lasis lufnimishus hadin. Umeyatan, if this be the case, hare osi shape hoda parach the gemara amai meid. The gemara says, why is the kohen gadol testifying? Hello, havi enol fifodo. I comes along the tumim and he asks, neima demai de tanan meid hainu im bratza. If he decides on his own volition that he wants to testify, he's allowed to do so. Lafuki melech, to the exclusion of a king who's not allowed to be made, even if he wants to voluntarily offer himself to testify. Afilum yirtza, even if he wants to, but melech shemoch al kvodo ein kvodo moch, he's not allowed to do so. But lefiya mavur, if our conclusion is correct according to the Rambam, that even a melech is allowed to testify because it's not midin mechila, it's just that he is accepting upon himself a chiyuv when he's not obligated to do so. Im kein bal korcha demai detnan kohen gadol meid hainu shechayev lahoid. We have no choice but to interpret the Mishnah as kohen gadol meid means he's obligated to be made. Because in the case of a melech it says eino meid, which means what? That he's not obligated to testify. In the case of a kohen gadol, it says meid, it means that he's obligated in testimony. Hu mishum hachi shapir parach hagemara. The gemara's question is justified. Amai chayev? Why is the kohen gadol obligated to testify? Halo zilusahu? It's a zilzul in his kavod. for the Kohen Gadol to testify in front of Beis Din. Here's where he answers the kasha of the two. Any questions or comments before we end the shiur?
Complicated. Your fly flew out.
Wow, I thought he was gone. This fly has 7 lives. 9 lives, what is it? What? Right, he came back to answer the kasha of the tomb. But again, I just want to tell you there's a radical chiddush here, a new halacha. I mean, if you told this to someone on the street, they would laugh you out of the place. He's saying that a melech who wants to testify is allowed to testify. How could that be? He's being mezalzel in his kavod, and melech shemochal kvodo ein kvodo mochal. The only answer could be is that we're circumventing the whole need for mechila. We don't need mechila. The question is, can you accept upon you on yourself a mitzvah when you're not obligated? And the answer is yes. If you want to accept upon yourself a chiyuv, like a woman in mitzvah say shvat grama, is you're allowed to do so.
Well, this one had been abolished at the second temple.
Shabbat Shalom. Yes, Shabbat Shalom.
Was it abolished at the second temple?
The second temple?
So the question is, they had a lot of foggy
gadol.
So what would...
You mean the stukim?
Yeah.
Yeah, a bunch of stukim.
Yes, how would they operate?